Chapter 4. The late afternoon sun bathed apartments and storefronts in fiery orange as Darcy made her way to the park to meet Hakeem. Fading graffiti, like old tattoos, covered the low cement wall that surrounded the park, all of it familiar to Darcy. She eased through a gap in the wall as she had done countless times before. A new work of graffiti, a black sphere with a lit fuse, had been painted near the first swing set. Underneath the sphere, crude, jagged letters spelled out a single word: time bomb. As Darcy moved further into the park, the sounds of the neighborhood grew more distant. The roar of passing traffic, the thudding bass of reggaeton music from a nearby apartment, even the chop-chop of a police helicopter became muted. She spotted Hakeem rocking gently back and forth on a swing. He stood up as soon as he saw her, and Darcy felt her heartbeat skip and quicken as their eyes met. He was growing his hair a bit longer, and it only made him even more handsome, more mature. "Hey," he said, smiling and rubbing his hands against his jeans as if he were nervous. "You want to talk here or go somewhere else?" "Here's good," Darcy said, taking a seat on the swing. Hakeem sat down beside her. They stared out over the playground in silence. Darcy recalled how last year, Tara, Cooper, and Hakeem had joined a group of Bluford students to clean up the park. They had spent an entire Saturday removing trash, repainting the seesaws, sweeping up broken bottles, and even washing away some of the graffiti. When Darcy heard what they had done, she was impressed. "There's no way I'm spending Saturday cleaning up other people's trash," Brisana groaned at the time, but that was when Darcy began noticing Hakeem. Really noticing him.
"Excuse me,"
a tiny voice called from behind them.
"Could I have a turn?"
Darcy turned to see a small boy, maybe 5 or 6 years old, in a Hulk t-shirt, eyeing the swings.
"It's all yours, little Hulk," Hakeem said with a smile, rising from his swing so the little boy could take it.
"Thank you," said a woman on a nearby bench. "Say thank you, Diego." Hakeem gave the little boy a fist bump when he thanked him. The whole exchange lasted a few seconds, but it captured everything Darcy liked about Hakeem. He was unlike any boy she had known. Strong, but gentle and kind, too. He was the opposite of Brian Mason, the guy she had kissed last summer who wanted to go further and didn't want to take no for an answer. Darcy's father intervened, but the ordeal scarred her. It was a nightmare she had worked hard to forget. Hakeem helped, even now, as he said goodbye to Diego.
"Oh my God," Darcy said, unable to contain her smile. "You're so cute with that little boy."
"He's the Hulk," Hakeem joked, his dark eyes sparkling. "You gotta treat the Hulk with respect."
"I've done plenty of babysitting. Let's just say respect isn't the first thing that comes to mind when dealing with little kids."
"Yeah, but you never babysat the Hulk."
"Come on," he urged, walking over to a picnic table and sitting down. Again, he wiped his hands on his jeans.
"So I heard about the Trinity program. That's amazing, Darce."
He sounded genuinely happy, the first person who wasn't acting weird or stressed out about the news. But he also seemed to have something else on his mind.
"Thanks. I mean, it's exciting and all, but it's kind of surprising," she admitted. "I'm still trying to figure out what it means, you know?"
Hakeem nodded.
"What it means is you're crushing it, Darcy. You're like the athlete who gets picked in the first round of the draft. Don't be surprised. You deserve it. You worked hard to get yours. Talk about respect. I got mad respect for you."
Darcy felt her face flush and her heart flutter. She felt exposed somehow, but safe too. It was as if Hakeem really knew and appreciated her.
"Thanks," she said, leaning toward him slightly. "You deserve it too."
"Nah, I'm a good student. But you and Brisana just killed it. I'm cool, though."
He shook his head but also smiled. Darcy could hear the feeling in his words. He meant what he said, but was there sadness, too? She wasn't sure.
"Well, you know who's not cool? Tara. She won't even talk to me about it." "Don't get me started on her and Coop," Hakeem huffed. "I don't mean to throw shade, but those two right now..."
"Really?" Darcy said, surprised to hear Hakeem's reaction. "What is it?"
"You know Coop's my boy, right? If it weren't for him, I wouldn't even be here, so let me say that first. But ever since I got back, things changed between us. We don't talk no more. Not for real, anyway. It's like something happened this summer, but he won't say what it is.
Oh my God, that's how Tara is with me, Darcy confessed. Did you ask him?
He don't want to talk. All he ever does anymore is hang out with Tara. He barely leaves her side. It's like he's protecting her or something.
Hakeem sounded defeated. Darcy imagined what it must be like for him to be so far from his family, only to have his best friend treating him like a stranger. She wondered why Tara and Cooper were acting so oddly.
I thought it was just the party, Darcy admitted. I figure when that's over, maybe things will go back to normal.
The party, Hakeem said, sucking his teeth. That's another thing. I feel bad enough about missing it without her putting me on blast.
Don't worry, Darcy said, remembering how he had struggled to tell Tara he couldn't go.
Tara gets it. She knows you need to work. She's cool with you, but me, that's a different story. She has no time for my college thing.
Hakeem shook his head and pushed his palms against his legs, straightening his back as if he was forcing away an unpleasant memory.
Hold up. Let's just pause on the two of them for a minute, he said. I love them both, but I didn't come out here to talk about them.
Darcy noticed Hakeem's voice and face changed as he spoke. He seemed more focused, his eyes intense and sparkling in the fading sun. He took a deep breath as if he was about to make an important announcement.
I had a lot of time to think lately. Maybe too much time. I just can't sleep in Casa de Coop, Hakeem said, turning and meeting her gaze. You and me, it's like we never got a chance, you know? And when my dad got sick, and then all the drama of the summer, well, it seemed like maybe we never would.
Darcy hung on his words.
You and me.
The chatter of Diego and his mom not far away, the lengthening shadows in the park, a distant siren. None of it mattered. She had never heard Hakeem be so direct. Her heart raced as he continued.
But I'm back, and we're here. And there's no other girl like you, Darcy. Not in the whole school.
And he stammered, making a hissing sound like a deflating tire.
Man, this is hard to say, he exclaimed.
What? Darcy asked, her heart galloping in her chest.
Hakeem reached into his pocket and pulled out his phone.
I knew this would happen, but like I said, I had time to think. Here's what I'm trying to say.
He tapped the screen, and a video began to play. It opened with Hakeem sitting on a gray chair holding his guitar. The walls around him were wood-paneled, and the ceiling was low, maybe just a few inches above Hakeem's head if he stood. A section of mattress was visible on the floor. His crumpled backpack rested next to it. She knew it had to be his room in Cooper's basement. Suddenly, Hakeem's hands began to strum, and the guitar chords vibrated through the speakers of his phone. And Hakeem's voice, stronger and more sure, rose above them. Again, no matter the distance or the pain, in blinding sun and pouring rain, when hope was lost, no bridge to cross, our world gone, but feelings remained. And so I ask if you're like me, if you can see what we can be, that we try, you and I, again.
Darcy felt as if the park had suddenly broken free from the city. The noisy neighborhood was gone, and a private island paradise had taken its place. There were no cramped wood-paneled basements, no parents with secrets and heartache, no friends with hidden drama, no circling police cars, just the two of them.
Hakeem shut off his phone and pulled something from his pocket.
For you, he said, placing a small blue square box in Darcy's palm.
She opened it to reveal a heart-shaped gold pendant on a chain.
I got it last year before I knew my dad was sick. I was gonna ask you to wear it and, you know, be my girl, he finished quickly. It never happened, but I'm thinking now might be the time if you do.
Hakeem, Darcy gushed as she studied the shimmering heart in her hand.
It's perfect, she said, lifting her face toward his. I'll never take it off, never. I'm sorry it took so long to get to you. For a while, I was scared you'd say no. And then everything fell apart. I gotta admit, though, Cooper has been pushing this for a while. Tara, too. Well, at least they're right about this.
I'm glad you listened.
Me too.
Hakeem gently took the necklace and opened its clasp. He slowly reached toward her, one end of the necklace in each hand. His palms reached up under her hair, his fingers brushing the side of her face as he worked to connect the tiny hook. Shivers went down her neck at his touch. Darcy locked eyes with him. Black and warm, nervous but excited, intense but tender too. She could see it all and recall everything from last year to now that led to this moment. The misunderstandings, the lost opportunities, the fear that they would never see each other again. It all led to this second with Hakeem's fingers gently working on the back of her neck and an electric feeling unlike anything she had ever known filling her from the inside out. She tilted her head and closed her eyes, leaning into him. A moment later, Hakeem's soft lips touched hers, brushing them gently. Darcy inhaled the scent of him, the feel of his body so close to hers, cherishing the sensation of finally being where for so long she had hoped to be.